verse 1, it says, he's a Pharisee. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He's a ruler of the Jews. Who's Pharisees in the Bible? Pharisees, they are a special group of religious leaders. They are so religious. They are a group of people of moral, people of ethic. So everybody in those times, they respect Pharisees because they are the teachers of the law. They probably memorize the Torah, the Old Testament, five books, Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. They memorize the main points of those books. They memorize and they teach. They are great teachers of the Old Testament. So not only they teach the Bible, they obey the law. They obey the law. And they live out the word of God in their life. So you can see they are very respected, right? Respected group of people. We call it Pharisee. So they had honor and authority. Okay? They are men of moral, men of good ethics. Verse 2. Came to him, this Pharisee named Nicodemus, came to him. Who? Who's him?
Jesus.
Came to Jesus by night. By night. You can imagine why he came to Jesus by night. Because many eyes are seeing. There are many eyes in the daytime. Nighttime, there's a quiet. You can sneak in. He's a Pharisee. He's a teacher of the Bible. He's a well-known, well-noticed, respected person in the society. And he cannot go to Jesus, who is a young man, about 30 years old, and he was an old man, like 60, 70, 70 years old. You can understand why he went to Jesus by night. You can understand that. But praise the Lord, he went to Jesus. That's what's important, amen? It doesn't matter morning or afternoon or nighttime, he went to Jesus. And he went to Jesus, and this is what he said. We know that you have come from God, because all these great signs you're doing, the miracles, it has to be from God. So we know you came from God, right? This means that Nicodemus, he was seeking God. He was seeking God. Oh, that's a big plus, isn't it? Brothers, are you listening? Hello? Hello?
Amen.
Amen.
All
right. So Nicodemus, he's a well-respected person. Verse 3 and 4, Jesus answered, said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew or born again, whichever you like. I like born anew. Anew. Born anew. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he's old? See, he was old. He was a well-respected old man, Pharisee. He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? So this is a very interesting story now. He came to Jesus by night because he's interested about eternal life. And Jesus said, unless you're born again, unless you're born anew, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then the Nicodemus said, how can a born again, born anew, how can an old man go into mom's womb and be born again? Is that possible? So he's translating into as a physical, in a physical realm, where Jesus is talking about in a spiritual realm. So Jesus is talking spirit, Nicodemus is speaking
flesh.
you see the conversation going on, right? Many times God is speaking spiritual stuff to us, but we don't understand. We take it as a physical stuff. Oh, may God have mercy upon us today that our spiritual eyes will be open.
Amen.
Our spiritual ears will be open.
Amen.
And we can hear His message.
Amen.
And translate it into translate it as it is. Oh, Lord Jesus. So he was an old man,
right? Asking a young man how to be saved. He was honest and humble, isn't it? You see, he's a Pharisee, old man, man of wisdom, a man of dignity, education. He holds a PhD degree in modern time. This old man with dignity, with honor, and with authority, coming to the young man, 30 years old, how to be saved. He's humble. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's honest, isn't it? So here's a question. Here's a question I want to ask you. Can you find a better person than Nicodemus in your life? You think about it. Do you see a person who knows the Bible so well, who teaches the Bible, who prays all the time, who is a good model, who does the good things, help out the poor people, fasting, praying, obeying the law all the time, and being a good model at home as well as in the synagogues, modern day church? Can you find a better person than Nicodemus in your life? Do you hear me? It is not easy to find a person like a Nicodemus, right? But you know what? The message here is, even Nicodemus needed to be born again. Nicodemus, a religious leader, Pharisee, he needed to be born again, born anew. Here's a mistake. Many people think, because I'm terrible, I'm a criminal, I'm a sinner, I'm a bad person, I need redemption, I need to be saved. Many people think that way, huh? But redemption means it has nothing to do with yourself being good person or bad person. It has to do with life of God. You have human life because the moment you were birthed from your mother, right? You have the human life. But born again means that we need the life of God. We need divine life. It has nothing to do with our physical life or our social life, our earthly life, being a good person or a bad person. In fact, people have a hard time, the group of Pharisees, these religious leaders, they have a harder time to accept Jesus, accept the gospel, than those people of the criminals. Isn't that true? When you go out, try to witness, share the gospel, right? If they have committed sin, and they know they're a sinner, it's easier for them to accept Jesus. Easier for them to see the need for the Savior. But if they think they're righteous, they're good, they're helping out the needy people, helping out the orphans and widows, you know what? They say, I'm a good person. Why do I need a Savior? But if Pharisee need a Savior, you need a Savior. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. No, we need to, some of you think, you're talking about Nicodemus. I'm not a Pharisee. But perhaps, maybe you are reading the Bible. Okay, now I'm getting into something very important, all right? Maybe you are reading the Bible. Maybe you are praying. Maybe you are dancing here. You are prophesizing here. Even preaching, yes. But you do not aware of the spiritual life, like Nicodemus. He didn't understand of born again. In your sermon outline, do you have that? Can somebody give me one? On the sermon outline.
Thank you.
All right. Let's read that redemption there. Do you have the regeneration? Do you see that? Okay. Can we read that regeneration? Sermon Online, the bottom part. All right? Okay, ready? Regeneration is not any kind of outward improvement. Regeneration is a rebirth which brings in a new life. Amen. One more time, the next paragraph. It is absolutely a matter of life, not a matter of doing. It does not mean to adjust or correct ourselves. It means to have the life of God. Hallelujah. Do you get it? It's not a matter of adjusting or correcting some behaviors. It's a matter of life. Do I have the life of God or not? That's what matters. The born again has to do with the divine life. Look at me, brothers. Oh, this is so important because one day many people will stand before God and say, hey, I call on your name and I went to church, I went to the Bible study, I did this and I did that in the church life. And the Lord will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. Oh, we don't want that terrible situation to come to any of us. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have to make sure we are born again. Even Pharisee, a religious leader, needed to be born again. We need to be born again. Make sure we're born again. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God for the power of God's regeneration. Amen. So regardless of how good or bad we are, we need regeneration. We need God's salvation. Okay. So the question here is, do you have an authentic relationship with Jesus? Okay, hear me, brothers, sisters, too. Yeah? Do you have a real relationship with Jesus? Nicodemus, he was full of religious activities and religious stuff. He had worship and praying and reading the Bible too, yes, but he didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. Just because we came to church on Sunday, that doesn't mean we have a relationship with Jesus. You understand? Alright? So, this is very, very personal and important question that we have to ask for ourselves. Do I have a personal relationship with my Lord Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Amen? Alright, let me give you a illustration now. I have a personal relationship with Rachel. How do I can prove it? How can I prove it? I talk to her daily. I listen to her daily. I eat with her daily. Right? We do activities together. Personal relationship. Sometimes we fight. But that's good too. That means we are alive. Yeah, I have a personal relationship with her. You understand? Every day I live with her, right? But I do not have... Listen. Pay attention, please. But I do not have a personal relationship with President Trump. I only know President Trump through TV or through the media, right? I never met him. I never talked to him. I never listened to him personally. So although I know Trump, he does not know me. If he arrives in Korea and I say, hey, President Trump, I like how you say things, you know? I like, yeah, you're so cool. You're the man. Yeah, you're the man. Hey, give me a hug, Trump. I'm Paul. You know me, right? He will probably arrest me right there. He will arrest me. Right? And he will send me to the psychological. The doctor. Psychologist. You see, I know him only by TV and media. But he does not know me. I know him through TV and media. That is not a personal relationship. If you know Jesus through TV, through media, through pastors, through church, even through the Bible, that does not mean you have a personal relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Even the Bible, I say. I honor the Bible. I love the Bible. Yes, I do. I love the Bible. But what is written in here, the Logos, the Word of God, cannot save you unless that Logos Word becomes Rhema in your spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. There's an interesting word in John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Is it in the Sermon on the Mount? I think it's there is. Yeah, John chapter 5, verse 39. You read that scripture, please. Begin. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is these that testify concerning me. Yet you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Oh, look at this. So Jesus is saying to this Pharisee, the religious leaders, in this 21st century, Jesus is talking to pastors, bishops, evangelists, or reverend, or whatever you want to call, the spiritual leaders. He's talking to them and says, hey, you are searching the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. By studying the word of God, you think you have eternal life. Jesus says, no, you refuse to come to me. You can only have eternal life when you come to Jesus as a person. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
We need to awaken our senses. We need to awaken our hearts. We need to awaken our spirit and meet Jesus personally as a person. Because Rachel is a person. I see her. I feel her. And I experience her. It's a real thing. It's a reality. It's not a shadow. It's not a
TV.
Yeah, it's not TV. Thank you. I don't see her in TV every day. I see her face to face, person to person, personality to personality. Amen. You have to meet Jesus person to person.
Amen.
When you talk to him, he listens and he can talk to you back.
Amen.
And you need to open your ears wide and you need to hear his voice. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you read the Bible, you need to hear his voice. Oh Lord Jesus, and so many times, including myself, many times, even the Word of God can mislead us. If you do not read it in your spirit, if you do not contact God in your spirit, because there are so many different kinds of translations out there in this world, so many different kinds of the Bible out there, probably more than, I don't know, maybe if I'm just guessing, 40, 50 versions of the Bible. There's so many versions of the Bible in the world, and which one to read? We're so confused. People are so confused. Which church to go? Which denomination to go? It's so confusing, isn't it? But praise God that God tells us that in the Bible, there's a corner of the Bible, the heart of the Bible, entire Bible, 66 books of the Bible, talks about only one thing. Christ and the church. Christ is the head of the body, and he is also body himself. We call him one new man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So God's purpose is to be united between God and man. God and man mingle together. God and man become one together, one in spirit. Hallelujah. Because God is spirit, he can only become one in our spirit. And the rest is up to us. We need to expand Christ who is in our spirit to our soul level. Hallelujah. Even to our body level. That's why Apostle Paul says, I beat my body to make it obedient to Christ every day. Hallelujah. If you don't beat your body, body will beat you. Hello?
Amen.
We need to beat our body. We are not a slave of the flesh. We're not slaves of the body. Right? The flesh. We are slaves of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are the servant of the living God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We need to activate our spirit every day.
Amen.
Activate our spirit because God is spirit. God is spirit. I cannot overemphasize the importance of this message, this gospel. Gospel has to do with God is spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24, 14. Verse 23, 24, right? God is spirit. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15, 45. Right? You have that scripture there. Would you read it, please? 1 Corinthians 15, 45. All right, ready? A life-giving Come on, everybody say, come on, we need to embed it this. We need to be soaking this word of God into our spirit, into our heart. Amen. A life-giving
spirit.
Come on.
Life-giving spirit.
Life-giving spirit, and then you respond. You echo, okay, ready? Go.
Life-giving spirit.
Life-giving spirit.
Over there.
Life-giving spirit.
Over there.
Life-giving spirit. Life-giving spirit.
Life-giving spirit.
Life-giving spirit.
Life-giving spirit.
Everybody.
Life-giving spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
We have to know Christ is a life-giving spirit. Christ is not some kind of a physical body anymore. You travel many countries in this world, especially like Mexico or even Philippines, right? All these countries, you will see statues of Jesus Christ, isn't it? Statue, huh? You see statue of Jesus Christ, statue of Mary, Mother Mary. All those are idols. Christ no longer has physical body. He died on the cross. He rose again from the dead. When he rose again from the dead, he became a life-giving spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't look for some kind of image. God is spirit. So you need to activate your spirit to touch God. Because he's a spirit now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Nicodemus, he was a spirit, religious leader full of knowledge of the Bible, the Old Testament especially. He was an Old Testament scholar. He was the best professor of the Old Testament. Do you understand? But he did not aware of the spirit, spiritual world. That's why when Jesus says, you need to be born anew. What? I need to go back to mom's womb and come back. Jesus is talking about spirit here. So we need to understand the importance of spirit. Hallelujah. Christ is spirit. Amen. Life-giving spirit. Hallelujah. The word of God is spirit. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And prayer is spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And worship is spirit. Amen. Bible says in John chapter 4, 24, worship in spirit. Amen. Philippians 3, chapter 3, verse 3, serve in the spirit. Ephesians chapter 6, pray in the spirit. We need to do everything in spirit. If you are talking from your spirit, you are doing good. Hallelujah. But if you are talking the best knowledge and beautiful words, wonderful, excellent words, but you are speaking from your soul, that would destroy the body of Christ.
Amen.
That would destroy yourself as well.
Amen.
What we need is spirit. What we need is spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If we dance in our spirit, praise the Lord! God will receive that dance, amen.
Amen.
But if we dance in our soul, just enjoying that music, whatever, then God cannot accept, right? If we sit down here and singing the song very quietly, there's no emotional stir up here, just very quietly, but very silently. But if you're doing it in your spirit, God accepts it. Hallelujah. Do you see the point? Do you see the point? Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have to ask a question. Is that from the spirit? Are you speaking from your spirit? Are you behaving? Are you living in your spirit? Style doesn't matter. Circumstance doesn't matter. Even culture doesn't matter. Bible should be above the culture. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 We need to be born again with heavenly culture.
Amen.
We need to go over Korean culture.
Amen.
Even African culture.
Amen.
England culture.
Amen.
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 We need to talk about heavenly culture.
Amen.
Christ culture.
Amen.
Bible culture.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We need to be able to worship in any kinds of form. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We can pray in any kinds of prayer. Amen.
Amen.
As long as you are using your spirit. Because Christ is spirit. Amen. Okay, look at verse 5. Look at verse 5 now. Can you read verse 5? Verse 5, please. I'm almost done. Okay, ready? Begin. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless, come on, to church. Come on, verse 5, one more time. One voice, please, loud and clear, because this is the word of God. Begin.
Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So Jesus is answering, hey, you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit. There are two things here now, okay? Now, you want to enter into the kingdom of God? You want to be born anew? You want to be a believer of Jesus Christ? You want to be a children of God? Praise the Lord. There are two things you need, water and the Spirit. Say, water and the Spirit.
Water and the Spirit.
Okay, so the water signifies the baptism of the John the Baptist. It points to the baptism, the ministry of baptism of John the Baptist, okay? It's talking about our confession, our repentance. In order to be baptized, we need to repent, right? We need to confess our sin, don't we, right? So that's the ministry of water baptism of the John the Baptist. The Spirit is talking about the ministry of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus became the Spirit, life-giving Spirit. And how do we receive that Spirit? By faith only. Hallelujah. If you believe, you'll receive that Spirit. Amen. The moment you say, Lord Jesus, then the Spirit will come into you and you'll be born anew. You will start feeling Jesus in you. There's something going on, moving in you. Your conscience will say no when you are sinning. When you are doing something wrong, it will say no, 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 no. I was sharing yesterday at the seminary that, you know, most of the time when we read the Bible, when we pray, there are more rebuking, more stabbing, right? You understand? More chastisement than encouragement. Are you getting me? I love my two boys. I love my two boys. And when I think of it, the time I spend time with them, of course, there's a time that I encourage them. But most of the time, I say, I want to spank them. This way, that way. No. Don't do that. No, do this way. Do that. You know what I'm saying? Because they're young. See? Most of the time, when you read the Bible, when you pray, God is saying to you, no, don't do that. No, don't do that. Oh, praise the Lord. We need to be open to hear the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to be born again with water and the Spirit. Amen? Now, look at verse 6 now, the final verse. Ready? Begin. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is?
Spirit.
The first Spirit is capital S, right? This is talking about Holy Spirit. That's Christ. And His Spirit, the second Spirit, the lowercase s, is talking about our human spirit. So which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So listen. Now, whatever that is flesh is useless. Okay? It's useless and it's not going to last forever. It's a temporal thing, right? In fact, when we die, our body, this flesh will go back to a handful of dust, isn't it? How sad it is. When we die, we go to the hospital and they burn, right? They burn the flesh and just one handful of the soil. Just like this, right? Oh, our body, flesh is nothing. It's nothing. But when we born again, and when Jesus Christ comes back, when we resurrect with a glorious body, that's something. Because that will last forever. Amen? But the flesh you have now is nothing. So what is born of the flesh is flesh. So this, oh, this one here, right here, right? Yeah, this is all flesh. Come on. Pinch. Do you feel it? This flesh. This will go away. Amen? All this will go away. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. So don't decorate too much. It will all go away. Now listen. So which Bible says the which is the born of the flesh is flesh, but the born of the Spirit is
Spirit.
Hallelujah. So that the most important question is this the Spirit? Is this the Spirit? Okay, one last scripture I want to share with you is John chapter 1 verse 12. Do we have that? Yes, we have it right there. Okay. John 1 12. Ready? Begin. But as many as received him, to them
he gave the authority to
become children of God. Amen. One more time. But as many
as received him, to them he gave the authority to become children of God. To those who believe in his name.
Okay. If you receive him, that's the same word as you believe. Believing in Jesus, into his name, it means same thing as receive him. When you receive Jesus, listen, you are believing into his name. Amen?
Amen.
You are believing into his name. Into means you're coming out of yourself and you are entering into his name, his life. Right? his personality. Now, so many as we receive him to them, he gave the authority to become the children of God. Hallelujah. Give them what? Give them what? Okay, with this, you leave this house, right? With authority. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, know and believe this. You and I, we are the children of God. If we are born anew, if we have received Jesus, you are born again. You are born anew. Born from heaven. Amen.
Amen.
And you know what? We have the authority as the children of God. And this authority is the authority above all authorities in heaven. On this earth. Hallelujah. So you and I, we have authority in Jesus' name. And that authority is over the world. We have authority over the world. We have authority over Satan, our enemy. We have authority over our disease, sickness. Amen. We have authority over poverty. We have authority over all the problems of this world. Do you believe it?
Yes.
That authority is the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Leave this room today with the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Every day, call on His name. Lord
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Come on, church.
Lord Jesus.
Use your spirit. Use your spirit.
Lord Jesus.
Come on.
Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus.
If you are doing it from your spirit for the first time, you know what? You are being born again now. And God will never leave you. And your life will be changed. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him. Let's worship Him. Let's honor Him. Oh, call on His name. Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, Lord, open my spiritual eyes.